Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Cheating to get ahead in academics may not pay off. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 16th, 2013. We're on day two of our newsworthy clips. Thanks for joining us, and we are right in the middle of our three-day article, news clips. First, we had a medical article yesterday about research on stem cells, or actually not stem cells, but a new cell that's been developed to replace stem cells. We have another medical topic that we talk about today. And then tomorrow we have an interesting story about a ghost town in Los Angeles. So before we get started, let me introduce our panelists. They're back from yesterday, and also get a thought from them from yesterday, something they might want to review from yesterday. So first off to my right, Lois Fisk.
Hi, Bill. It's good to be back here and good always to be with our listeners. I also liked this article we did yesterday, Bill. I think for me, I like the idea that universities are still just moving ahead with research. And we certainly found that out yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a tremendous function. It's not just a matter of granting degrees and pushing through students, but also doing research like this in the lab to make breakthroughs to help save lives, change lives.
Exactly. In many ways, I get more excited about universities for what you have just said than what I necessarily would get excited about in educating the students, because to me, it's like a working school.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Nathaniel Dunn, back in the house.
That's right. I'm glad to be here talking about another important issue today. But yesterday's issue was also very interesting. We were talking about the discovery of new cells that can develop into other kinds of cells. And cells like this have been discovered before, but have been controversial because they come from human embryos. So it's very kind of relieving to see that there are other cells with these capabilities. And I wanted to highlight that from yesterday.
Okay, very good. That was an interesting article yesterday about the breakthrough in this cell development. Our article today is also interesting for something different. And I said at the top of the program that cheating for academic, to get the edge in academics may not pay off. And what I'm talking about here today is this article where people might be taking medicine, might be taking a drug, a legal drug, to get an edge, maybe to improve test scores, particularly for their children, maybe the teens in high school, things like that. And anytime people are taking some sort of pharmaceutical to get an edge, it's alarming, because then what we are doing is we're playing with nature. We're playing with our body. We're playing with our mind. And for what? Maybe for a temporary gain, maybe for a slight gain, and it works. It may not work. We don't know. We'll find out as we read our article whether or not this little trick works. But the problem is there's a price with all of this, and there's a price in that it may do damage to the body. It may do damage to the brain, and so it's very risky when we venture into things that, well, I'm going to try this just to get an edge, because you may get into something you can't control.
That's right. And I kind of, with this, with your lead up here, Bill, as a parent, I'm kind of wondering what kind of parents are parenting these children.
This doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all, because I've seen parents do all sorts of things to get an edge for their children. And I'm thinking, of course, in a whole different field, for instance, where I grew up, sports were very big. And parents actually had no problem maybe looking the other way if their children needed to take some maybe a supplement that might not have been completely right or legal for them to take, or even people do take steroids because they figure, well, if I can achieve in sports, It's worth it because I can get some glory. It might lead to money later on. And so people, a lot of people are willing to look the other way and say, oh, okay, you go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't grow up in that culture exactly, but definitely in the school setting, you do see parents that really push their children and oftentimes much more than need be, requiring them to do things that in the end may really hurt the relationship and could hurt the children in other ways too.
Yeah.
Yeah, even a simple thing of not really allowing your children to have enough sleep every night.
Mm. Yeah, all sorts of different things that come into play. We will talk about that sleep issue in this. So why don't we do this? Let's get into our article. If you turn to page 27, we'll split it up into two readings today. Our first one will be that left column down to line 27.
Doctors urged to stop prescribing ADHD drugs for healthy kids. Prescribing psychotropic medications to normal, healthy kids who want to boost their academic performance is not justifiable because it contravenes a physician's responsibility to promote a child's authentic development and to protect him or her against coercion by parents or peers, a group of neurologists and bioethicists has asserted. Those arguments are contained in a new finding published in the journal Neurology. In recent years, the proportion of children diagnosed with ADHD and prescribed stimulant or other medication for the condition has risen steeply. So too has evidence of the medication's use by children and adolescents looking for an edge in test-taking. Among 12th graders, 3.4% acknowledged having used ADHD drugs in the last year for purposes other than those for which they're prescribed, according to a yearly federal survey of youth drug use. In the same 2008 survey, 2.9% of 10th grade students and 1.6% of 8th graders acknowledged having taken ADHD drugs for non-medical purposes.
Okay, our title says, Doctors Urge to Stop Prescribing ADHD Drugs for Healthy Kids. So ADHD, that means Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder. That's a medical condition that has become well known here in the last 10 years. You've got AD, Attention Deficit Disorder, ADD, and then you've got ADHD, which is a more extreme version of this. Hyperactive disorder means not only does the child have problems paying attention, but then also often reverts to hyperactivity or activity that cannot sit still. They will stand up in classroom. They will roll on the floor. They will make noise. They will constantly disrupt the other students and the teachers. So one of the drugs that was developed was Ritalin, as widely prescribed for children. When we say prescribe, what do we mean?
Well, a prescription is like a medicine assignment from a doctor. So if a doctor prescribes you a kind of medicine, it's like he's giving you this medicine to take. He has to allow you to take that medicine. You can't usually buy it freely.
Okay, so we've got this medicine that's been prescribed for these kids in the past, especially again in the past 10 years. It's really increased but now this is regarding healthy kids, ones that aren't even diagnosed with these ailments, right?
Yeah. You know, Bill, when I saw the deck here of this healthy kids, I don't even think I first read it the way the article is going to tell me about these healthy kids. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, we should try different foods on these kids or we should try this. But that's not what this is really talking about.
No. What is it talking about?
Well, it's talking about parents and also maybe sometimes children who request to take these drugs that are designed for ADHD in order to get an edge on things like test taking, possibly. They think that these drugs are going to help a healthy child that doesn't need them do better than the average kid in these activities.
We call them psychotropic medications. That's one of our specialized terms as far as describing those that have an effect on perception, emotion, and behavior. Now, the first sentence says, not justifiable to give these things to improve academic performance. Not justifiable.
Well, it's not justifiable because these kids aren't suffering from being ADHD children. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, we're writing a prescription, the doctor's writing a prescription for something that the child doesn't have wrong with them.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not justifiable because they don't have the illness or whatever you want to call ADHD. They haven't got it.
It says there contravenes a physician's responsibility.
Yes, and if these drugs contravene something, they are going against the rule of something. And this is the rule of a physician's responsibility to promote a child's authentic development. That's authentic, of course, being true development. Mm-hmm. So if you're using these drugs, it's definitely not authentic.
Just a normal, natural growth.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Bill, when I read this, I couldn't help thinking, and I know our readers know this person, of Michael Jackson, how his doctor was giving him something that he didn't need.
Right.
It wasn't required for a medical condition he had.
Right. That's a really good example. And then when we add all of these things to our body, it does damage. So now, this is looking at not giving this to children to, you know, it's something that you need to let them grow naturally and also to protect him or her against
coercion by parents or peers. If you coerce someone, that's the verb form of that word, coercion. If you coerce them, you're trying to convince them to do something. And sometimes it's more than convincing. There might be some force involved
right.
as well.
Right. Okay. You may be forcing somebody to do something. And who is sounding the alarm here?
Okay, Bill, we have a group here that's sounding the alarm. It's a group of neurologists and bioethicists. And in our specialized terms, it tells us what those are. I think most of us know what neurologist is. And a neurologist is a doctor who studies and treats diseases of the nerves, Bill. But we might not always know what a bioethicist is. That's someone who studies the moral and ethical effects of new biological and biomedical discoveries and improvements.
Okay. So this is actually very important. And it's getting a lot more attention to study the ethics of medical practices because the world has exploded with medical discoveries and technology, but there are ethical questions that do go into deciding whether or not to use this technology, some of these things. We talked about one of them yesterday regarding embryonic stem cells. That's a great question for bioethicists to consider. And they have asserted this. The neurologists and bioethicists have asserted this, or they have put forth this idea, and they strongly believe that parents should not be adding these psychotropic medications. It's not justifiable. So these arguments that they are asserting are contained in a new finding published in the journal Neurology, the journal for neurologists. Now, In recent years,
the proportion of children diagnosed with ADHD and prescribed stimulant or other medication for the condition has risen steeply.
What that means is that more and more kids are being identified as ADHD. Even that has come under scrutiny.
Yeah,
yes?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, I don't know, in certain areas I know of in Canada, the actual population of the children going to school is dropping, but we have so many more children being prescribed with medication for ADHD. So it all sounds a little strange to me, Bill.
In some ways, that it's the issue here as far as the number, the proportion of children being diagnosed and prescribed these stimulants is one of the bioethical questions in America and Canada is, are we using medication too much to modify behavior?
Over-medication is what we call that. Mm-hmm. And it is a big question. I mean, it definitely plays into issues like depression, issues like ADHD in children. And here we're taking it to the next step where we're medicating ourselves for things that really just aren't necessary for the individual. That drug does not need to be taken by these children.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times in the past, when I grew up, the kids used to be considered maybe naughty or he misbehaves in class. Mm. And, you know, every school, every class always has a couple of kids who are acting up. But today, it's gotten to the point where maybe half the classes of kids who are in grade school are taking Ritalin.
Yeah.
Because there's an overemphasis on medication.
And it's interesting, Bill, when we left Canada about 10 years ago to move to Asia, what was being addressed then was, and obviously this has all changed in the 10 years, was do these kids really need to be on this medication who are prescribed it?
Right.
Or do we need to change their diet? Is something wrong with their diet? But now we go to this extreme, and it's just so surprising to me.
Yeah. So that second part of that sentence there in line 18 and 19 then says, okay, not only is it a question of kids being prescribed this medicine, we're not even sure, but the numbers are going up, then adolescents are then getting this medicine, too, because they're looking for an edge in test-taking.
Right, and getting an edge is getting ahead. Mm-hmm. You're doing something so that you're ahead of everyone else. So we have children and adolescents who want to get ahead in test-taking and want to take this drug to do that.
All right, so it's bad enough that we're prescribing it to kids. We don't know if they need it, but then we've got kids we definitely know don't need it, but they're actually getting the medicine. Now, there were some surveys done, and we cover some of those statistics in the next paragraph.
That's right, Bill. It says among 12th graders, 3.4% acknowledged having used ADHD drugs in the last year for purposes other than those for which they are prescribed.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Bill, this seems kind of serious to me.
Right. You might look at this and say, well, why are these kids taking this drug? They don't even need it. All right. So if they're using it for purposes other than what they are prescribed for, they don't have a medical condition that requires this drug. So, and that was according to a yearly federal government survey of youth drug use. So they did a whole survey on all different types of drugs the kids are using, and of course there will be different types of drugs. Surprisingly, this ADHD, these drugs showed up 3.4%.
So what are we teaching our kids to say yes to prescription drugs?
Well, there's all sorts of different messages. I think maybe what we're saying is that performance is more important than health.
Mm. Yeah.
So now, how does that compare?
Yeah, there's a little bit more of this statistic here. In the same 2008 survey, 2.9% of 10th graders, 1.6% of 8th graders basically said the same thing. They acknowledged having taken these drugs for non-medical purposes. And I think that the analogy that we could draw here is that this is really a kind of academic steroid. I think we're going to talk about if it's actually effective, but that really is kind of the issue here. They're taking this for that reason. They're wanting to get that edge.
Yeah. And so, now granted, this study is a little bit dated. It's 2008. You see, though, I would say a ramping up of usage. You're going from 8th graders at 1.6%, and then it's going up to 2.9% for 10th graders, and then it does go up to 3.4% for the seniors in high school. And again, 5 years ago, that's this study. It is a little bit dated. My guess is the numbers are higher. There's two things, actually. I'll tell you why that I think the numbers are higher. One, the knowledge or this, or maybe this idea that it will help academic performance has probably spread more over the last 5 years.
Right.
There's concern about more competition. And so I think, you know, the admitted numbers would be higher, but I actually think the real numbers are probably higher because I think some people might withhold information about using this drug. Mm. Not everybody's going to admit that
exactly.
They're using it.
And lots of parents don't want people to know they're putting their children on this medication for that purpose.
Right, right. Parents don't want to know. Don't want anybody to know that either. So, okay, interesting statistics and a little disconcerting, this trend in using these prescription drugs to get an edge in academic performance. Let's have our second reading for today.
The neuroethicist wrote that widening use of ADHD medications and growing awareness and acceptance of the ADHD diagnosis have confronted physicians with increasing requests from parents and children to prescribe medication. Some may come from parents of children who are developing normally but falling short of high expectations for grades and academic performance. When asked for such medications by parents of children who do not need them, a physician should take the opportunity to explain that there is no evidence that such drugs benefit children who do not need them. The neuroethicist stopped short of asserting that prescribing such medications to children for neuroenhancement actually endangers their health. They noted that, though medications used for ADHD, typically stimulants, can raise blood pressure and heart rate, the consequences of such physiological changes in youngsters can be difficult to detect.
Now, why would people take this medicine, or parents even get it for their children, to improve academic performance? There's a couple things. One, there's a belief that it does raise alertness. The other thing is that also there's a belief that this medicine helps kids pay attention in class. And so those are the driving forces behind why parents and the teens might – parents might be pushing it, teens might be taking it. So – and we had read about an assertion by a group of neurologists and bioethicists in a journal, Neurology, and we picked that up here and what the neuroethicist wrote.
They wrote that widening use of ADHD medications and growing awareness and acceptance of the ADHD diagnosis have confronted physicians with increasing requests from parents and children to prescribe medication. Now, that's a long sentence, beginning with that term, neuroethicists. Earlier we talked about bioethicists, so it's a more specific term, ethical debates in terms of neurology.
Well, first, there's this widening use of ADHD medications and the growing awareness and acceptance of the diagnosis. Again, this has become much more common in the last 10 years, and it's almost become matter of fact in society. And it's too assumed and accepted, I would say. Oh, yeah, ADHD, ADD. And it's almost like, well, people don't even talk about it or think about it anymore. They just automatically prescribe the medication.
Mm. Right. You know, Bill, as a parent, I've noticed that, you know, if you have two or more kids, people expect at least one of your kids to be on medication for this. It's actually kind of even talked about among
right.
parents. Does your kid take this for this?
And right. It's almost, I'm thinking of, for instance, depression, too.
Right.
The analysis or prognosis of depression in many people, that's also increased. And again, the knee-jerk reaction today has become to prescribe a antidepressive medicine like Prozac or, you know, some of those, well, without really exploring other potential options. But we are talking about this ADHD here. The physicians have been confronted, or they've been challenged by, and ethically they have to deal with these increasing requests from parents and children to prescribe the medication.
Mm.
So imagine this. There are actually people kind of hoping to get the diagnosis.
Right.
Or at least to get a false diagnosis. So then they can say, oh, yeah, I need this prescription.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leading to being able to use the medication to get an edge academically. So we see here one of the reasons why this is happening, why the doctors are being confronted by this, as we see that first sentence there that in our right column.
Yes, it says some may come from parents of children who are developing normally but falling short of high expectations for grades and academic performance.
Aha. There's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And so they're looking for an edge. And again, it might be just a slight edge in their grades or even like their test scores, SATs, to get into certain universities. So now we get into what can a doctor do here in the next paragraph?
Mm-hmm. When asked for such medications by parents of children who do not need them, a physician should take the opportunity to explain that there is no evidence that such drugs benefit children who do not need them. So it is the doctor's responsibility. They should take this opportunity to say, hey, your kid really doesn't need this.
Right. And again, I see this point here, no evidence that such drugs benefit children. Again, I think a lot of, like many things, like fad diets, extreme diets, hey, do this diet, you'll drop weight quickly. This is one of those things I think that has taken off. It's almost like an urban myth.
Mm.
There's this belief then something gets on the internet, gets in the media. Ooh, does it give an edge? Does it not? People don't know the answer, but just hearing that question then triggers people to say, oh, I'm missing out. I need to start taking this thing. And they don't even know the truth.
Exactly. I want what she has, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, the neuroethicists we see in line 25, they stopped short of, or they did not make a definitive statement regarding what?
Yes, they didn't make prescribing such medication to children for neural enhancement actually endangers their health. They didn't really tell that, or they didn't make a conclusion on that, Bill. And they noted that though medications used for ADHD, typically stimulants, can raise blood pressure and heart rate.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal. They're saying there's nothing to prove this is going to help you academically. But they're also, they didn't say, well, if you take this, it's going to be disastrous, you know, that, you know, the kidney's going to fail, the liver's going to fail. They didn't say anything like that because they're not exactly sure of the damaging effects of this drug. But they did note that.
Though medications used for ADHD, typically or usually stimulants, they can raise blood pressure and heart rate, the consequences of such physiological changes in youngsters can be difficult to detect. Damage might be being done, but it might be hard to see.
Right. It's hard to see. There is some traces of these physiological changes, things that might be happening within the body, but it is, again, difficult to detect. I would look at this and say, well, it can't be good.
Mm.
Unless this is some kind of natural thing that I'm eating, I'm not eating vegetables mm-hmm. or fruits, I'm putting this pharmaceutical into me, I can't believe that it's good.
Yeah.
It's not going to really be good for my organs.
Exactly.
Yeah. And again, long-term usage of these drugs can affect livers, can affect kidneys, can mm. affect growth, and also can affect neurology, nerve cell development. So, okay, listeners, thanks for joining us here today for this very interesting article about a possible abuse of a pharmaceutical just to get an academic edge. Thanks for being here. Come on back tomorrow.